The Eddie B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Masechet Ketubot has been dedicated by our dear friend Mr. Elliot Shasho. Hashem Yishmineu V'Hayehu. May the zikut of the limud of Masechet Ketubot stand for him that he should have Be'azat Hashem, Hashanah Tovah Mborechet, Osher Ve'osher Ve'chavod, Shalom Bayit V'Hatzlacha Bechol Ma'aseh Yadav. And Be'azat Hashem, may he continue to be a supporter of Torah and all holy projects. Amen.
Daf Ayin Bet. Today's daf is being studied in the Elul Nishmat Avraham ben Esther. Ruach Hashem Tenichenu Began Eden. Amen. Today's daf is being studied in the Refuah Shenema. Yosef ben Sarah and Sarah bat Rachel. Enna Refan Lahem. Betoch She'ar Chodei Amo Yisrael. Amen. Begin today's daf on Ayin Aleph Amud Bet, when we are on the bottom line. Hamadir et Ishto. So we learned a case in yesterday's Mishnah where a person makes a vow against his wife that he does not allow her to go to weddings, Bet Mishteh, and does not allow her to go also to Bet Avel, to funerals. So we said if he makes such a neder, Yotzi, she can ask for a divorce, and she gets ketubah. And the language of the Mishnah was, Bepenesh she'no'el befaneha, because he's closing the door in front of her. So the Gemara begins. Bishlama lebet ha-mishteh. I understand the bet ha-mishteh, if he's referring to go to the weddings. Ika no'el befaneha. Okay, you're closing the door in front of her. What door? As she says, delet shel simcha upikuach sar, which means she wants to relieve herself from tzad. So you go to a wedding, simcha, and therefore she has, she's able to relieve herself. And furthermore, if she's going to go to weddings, other people will come to her simachot. So therefore, you're stopping this reciprocation factor, that they're not going to come to her simachot to enjoy with her. So comes the mefashim say over in this lashi pikuach sa'ad, there's a ta'ut sofer over. Pikuach is not the right word. It should be spelled with a chaf, pikuach, which means to alleviate sa'ad. Pikuach means to investigate, to nasot pikuach. So this is supposed to be with a chaf, just for your information. Ela lebet avel, but stopping her from going to the bet avel, my no'el befaneha ika. What doors are you closing by stopping her from going to a bet avel? Which means it's tzar over there. So who wants to go to a bet avel? So comes the Gemara and says, what is she losing? Tana lemachar imeta. Problem is, because one day she's going to die. The end called bria sofda, and nobody's come to eulogize her. Which means she didn't go for others. So people are going to say, oh, she never went to anybody's bet aver, and she's going to end up getting no eulogy as a result of it. The ika da amri in kol b'riya sofna. Sofna, as she explains, is kovra. Nobody's going to bury her. Tapra she, sofna kovra. Keshem shelo gamla chesed, kach lo yiglelu ima. Everything is reciprocatory. She doesn't do it for others. Others are not going to do it for us. So you're Noel. You're closing a door on her by not letting her go to these to the Bet Avel. Tanya Yerbi Meir Omer. My Dichtiv. What does it mean in the pasuk in Kohelet? Tov lalechet el Bet Avel melechet el Bet Amishte ba'asher usof kol ha'adam ve'achai yiten el libo. Which means it's better to go to Bet Avel, to a house of mourning, than it is to go to a wedding, to a party. V'asher usof kol ha'adam, because the end of man is death. V'achai yiten libo, and therefore the living will pay heed to the fact that his life is temporary. Which means that musad you're going to get from a bet avil. So comes the Gemara and says, "My v'achai yiten libo." What does it mean that the high will put it in his heart? What is it going to put in his heart? Devarim shel mita. Which means you're going to put the following principle regarding death. Person will contemplate. Disafad yispedune. Those that eulogize will get eulogized. The kabar yichberune. Those that bury get buried. The yidal. Those that lift the aron, carry the aron, yidilune. Or actually, the Yidal, right, that's referring to who cries out. Mishimirim kolo. Somebody that calls out and crying at the funeral, you know, to show that they're, she's the son. Herim kolo bebechi mesped. The Yidal. He elevates his voice. Yidilune, they'll cry for him. The Levai, he makes Levaya. He escorts the body. Yidavune, they will escort him. Deta'an yitanune. Then it lifts the coffin. They'll do the same thing, which means there is a midah, kereg midah in the world. And therefore, the hayiten libo. Pay close attention. You're doing these things. The Borei Olam will orchestrate the world that these things will come back to you as well because you're doing it for other people. That's why Tov Lalechet Elbet Ha'avin. Now, I saw once interpretation over here in this pasuk, which is worthy to repeat. Normally, when you're comparing two things, there has to be a certain similarity that you're comparing them to, and then you say, but this is better than that. For example, if a person is comparing two different types of apples, so a person could say, oh, this apple is better than that apple, because you're dealing with apples and apples, so you'll be able to make a judgment which is better. But you don't say, this apple is better than this orange. Because it's two different species. It's not nothing that you cannot compare them. So the Mishnah, the Pasuk Kohelet, Shalom was saying, you know, it's better to go to a Bet Aved than Bet Mishteh. Two different things. What do you mean it's better to go there? Two different type of events. So you can't compare them. So obviously Shalom held, there was a certain similarity between them. And he's still saying, but this one is better. What's the similarity? So the Mefarshim explained like this, that when a person goes to a wedding, so it's also a place where he contemplates the end of his life. Why? Not because he's getting married, but because he thinks to himself, what's the whole purpose of getting married? What's the whole matara? Pirurvu, to have children. Why? Why is that the whole matara? Because obviously people don't live forever. And therefore we have to make weddings in order to keep the species perpetuating, because if everybody lived forever, so you need to make weddings, because you don't have to perpetuate the species. So therefore, a wedding also is a time where a person is able to contemplate his death. So therefore, there is a connection, but it's, and that's why the Mefarshim say, instinctively, people cry at weddings. Now, why should they be crying at weddings? The Chaura, weddings is a happy occasion. So people will tell you that's a crying of happiness and things. But that's strange. Happy as they, there's tears. Because the neshama senses the truth of what's taking place over here. The neshama understands that if there's a wedding, that means people are going to die over here. That this couple's not going to be around forever. And therefore they want to perpetuate themselves to their children. They got to do it now, because life is short. And therefore the neshama senses that. Just like a person cries instinctively at a funeral, because theory sees it clearly. And that's what Shlomo HaMelech is saying. Better to go to a funeral because it's more obvious, because it's more pronounced. But at the wedding, you can get the same musar. That's why the Gemara Ben Akot learned that there was one rabbi at a wedding that used to have a custom. He used to throw the, they asked him, sing a song. And what did he sing at the wedding? Vai land de mitnan, vai land de mitnan. You know, whoa, we're going to die, whoa, we're going to die. And he said, hey, what are you talking about? What does that got to do with a wedding? Adrabah, he understood the exact essence of what the wedding is. Vailan de mitnan, that the life is short. That's why we're making weddings. So we can have children. So we can have another generation. Don holech v'dor ba. So that's what Shlomo HaMelech is saying. Both can accomplish the same goal. But at a funeral, as I said, it's more obvious. It's more clear. You don't have to think so much about it. You see the coffin in front of a person, and already it's obvious that life is short. So we said, but if the reason why he's refraining her from going to the weddings or to these funerals is because of davar acher, because of another item, so then already he's permissible. The neder is kayam, he doesn't have to get the divorce, give her a ketubah. What's the davar acher? My davar acher, which means could be at these places. There's people that are pirutzim, that are not the immodest people, immoral people. So what is he worried? If his wife's going to go to this wedding, chas v'shalom, she can become taken advantage of by these pirutzim. So if he makes the neder to protect his wife from the pirutzim, then already it's considered valid. Amar of Asher, lo amar an elad et hazek. That's only talking about when it's a hazakah that these people are in these places. But if there's no hazakah, the guy just saying a suspicion, then maybe there's going to be somebody over there. No. It's got to be established that there's people at these places that are not proper, and therefore if he makes a neder in such a case, the neder is al, and it's considered legitimate. Now we learned at the end of our Mishnah. The Mishnah said that if he makes a neder, right, and he makes it hinging on the condition that you're going to tell so-and-so what you told me. Or he makes a neder, you know, you're going to tell so-and-so what I told you. So he came along and the Mishnah's deen was that you take ketubah. That's already file a divorce, you can ask for a divorce and get a ketubah. Now what's the big deal of it? So the Gemara says, Vetema! Let us say it. What's the big thing over? Let her go tell that guy what he told what she told him. What are we concerned about? These were private items that are embarrassing, which means, for example, she tells wife, go to that guy and curse him and tell him things of hayruf and giduf. And therefore, it's a bitch. She's going to embarrass somebody. She's not obligated to go now curse somebody out because the husband says to do such a thing. So therefore, devarim shel kalon, she can say, listen, I cannot live under such a neder. Give me a ketubah and take a divorce. If it was a normal thing, go tell him good morning, then of course, let her go do that. And she has to fulfill the vow that the husband made, and no problem. But in this case, he's putting her in a position where she's not obligated to go tell somebody devarim shel kalon. Therefore, they didn't have the Mishnah as such. So he tells her, I want you to empty out into the garbage can. Which means fill up and empty out in the garbage can. So take out the garbage, it sounds like. So he says, oh, so he makes a neder with such a contingency that so the Gemara says, let her do it. What's the big thing? She empties things out in the garbage can. Amar Yehuda Amar Shmuel, shetimale v'nofetzet. Now the Gemara explains, quote to that, she, le'achar she'teshamesh. He's giving a euphemism. After tashmish, the yimaleh rahmas shekvat zera, where she's filled with shekvat zera, tarutz beragleha v'tinpetsenu. She's saying, go empty out. She'lo yiklot v'titaber. He's telling his wife, go empty out in the garbage can, which means the zera that he just put in her, empty it out quickly, because he doesn't want his wife to become pregnant. So the Mishnah is saying it in a nice way. Go, you know, fill it up and pull it in the put it in the garbage. So, and what's the claim over here? Why can't she claim divorce? She wants to get pregnant. She has a right to have children. She wants to do a piruv. There's not obligated, but you can't tell the wife not to have children. So therefore, she has a right to get divorced. The Baraita has a different interpretation. Fill up 10 pitchers of water. The tareh the ashpa and go pour it into the garbage. So comes the Gemara says, "Bishta mal Shmuel." I understand according to Shmuel's interpretation, that's the shekvat zera. Mishumahachi yotzi v'yitin ketubah. I understand why you have to be motzi. She wants to have children. A husband cannot force the lady not to have children. So therefore, yotzi v'yitin ketubah. Ela lematnita ma'ina lafkala mina tiabid. But according to the Braita, what's the difference? Let her go take 10 buckets of water and throw it into the garbage. What's the big deal that already she can claim that she wants a get with ketubah? Amar Rabbi Hanan, this she need eat keshota, because she's making her look like a fool, embarrassing his wife. When she's going taking fine jugs of water and pouring it into that spot, people think she's crazy. So the husband's doing it in such a way to put his wife in such a light. So therefore, she can claim that she wants a get and she will get a ketubah. Amar Rav Kahana. Hamadir itishto. A person makes a neder to his wife, shelo tishal, which means that she cannot lend, she should not borrow things. She cannot borrow things. Veshelo tashil, and she should not lend things out. You can't borrow anything from the neighbors. You can't lend anything to the neighbors. For example, napa vekabra, basic household items. Napa vekabra, the sifter and the sieve. Verehayim, that's the millstone. V'tanur, you know, the oven, yotzi v'yitin ketubah. That's already filed. She can claim for a divorce and she gets ketubah. What's the reason? Shemasi'a shemra b'shkunoteha. Because he's giving her his wife a bad reputation. Well, the neighbors come on and say, oh, this lady over here, she won't lend you anything. You know, you can't, she doesn't lend out, she doesn't, you know, she doesn't let you, she doesn't take, she doesn't receive. So she's giving you a bad reputation. She doesn't want to have a name like that. Tanya and Amechim have a brayta like this, or similar. Hamadir et tishto. Same case, right? He makes a neder against his wife. Shelo tishal, which means she cannot borrow. Vishelo, she cannot lend out. She cannot borrow herself. Vishelo tashi, she cannot lend out to others. Napa v'kabra rehayim v'tanu. These are all metaltin. These are all movable goods. Yosiv yitiketuba. Why? Mipnei shemasi'a shemra v'shkunoteha. Again, giving her a bad reputation amongst the neighbors. V'chein he. Well, the other way. Shenadra, she made a neder. She's not going to borrow anything from others. Vishlot tashil. Nor is she going to lend out. She made a neder on herself. Napa, kapra, rechayim, tanur. Vishlot te'erot begadim na'im lebanav. She said, I'm not doing any weaving of any clothes for my husband's children. She makes such a neder. Tetzeh shelot bechtubata. He can give her a divorce and does not have to pay the ketubah. Why? Because that's the opposite. She's giving him a bad reputation. What kind of wife is this over here? She doesn't, she's stingy and she's, why? Because now the people are going to think that he told her. Understand? It doesn't go. Probably the husband is a cheap guy, whatever, told her, don't lend out anything or don't give anything to the others, then don't do things for the children. And therefore, he's getting a bad reputation as a result of it. So therefore, the Mishnah says that since the people are going to think he's the Kamsan over here, so therefore, he's able to give her a divorce without a ketubah. The following ladies, the husband is allowed to divorce them and not give them ketubah. Ha'overet al dat Moshe v'Yehudit. So that Moshe is, she goes against Torah law. That Moshe is the Torah Moshe. She transgresses Torah law, and specifically we're talking about the transgression of Torah law that affects him. I mean, he's affected by such a transgression. V'Yehudit. What is that Yehudit? So that she says, Shenehagu benot Yisrael v'alfagav delo ketiva. She goes against Jewish custom, Jewish practice, specifically regarding the laws of Tzini'ut, which means it's a certain standard of Tzini'ut that the Torah demands, but Benot Yisrael throughout the generations accepted upon themselves certain higher standards of Tzini'ut, that we'll call maybe Midrabbanan or Mita' Minhag. So even if she goes against what's called Dat Yehudit, Jewish practice, that are in her dress, that's already enough to get a divorce without a ketubah. So the Mishnah asks, the Ezui Dat Moshe. What's considered Dat Moshe? What are these Torah laws that we're talking about? Ma'akidato she'eno me'usar. Good. She gives him food that she didn't take Tirumot and Ma'asrot. She fools him. Meaning he's eating it under the impression that the Tirumot and Ma'asrot were taken, and he finds out that she didn't take the Tirumot and Ma'asrot. Umshamashto nida. Oh, she goes with him when she's nida. Velo kotzala hala. Oh, she gives him bread and she didn't take hala from the bread. She makes vows and she doesn't keep the vows. Now we have to see in the Gemara which vows are we talking about. What does he care? She makes vows and doesn't keep them. How does that affect him? So we'll see exactly how. And what's considered that Yehudit where a person gets divorced without a ketubah? She goes out in the marketplace with her head uncovered. She doesn't cover her hair. Or let's say she's like immodest, where she's, let's say, weaving in the marketplace. And she talks to people. So therefore she's like flirtatious, or she's talkative to other men in the marketplace. Out. Abba Shaul Omer, afa mekalelet yoldav befanav. If the wife curses the husband's parents in front of him, which means she goes to the husband and says negative things about his parents in front of him. Rabbi Tarfon Omer, afa kolanit. Even a lady that's a kolanit, you can divorce her without a ketubah. Ve'ezi kolanit. What's a kolanit? It comes with the word kol. Which means she's a yeller, she's a screamer. Which is when she's talking in the house, the kol, the neighbor's already able to hear exactly what she's saying. So she's such a lady that's a kolanit, you can already get divorced. Okay, comes the Gemara now and says, Ma'achilato she'enu me'usar. Okay, so he's giving, she's feeding him stuff that's not me'usaf. That's not the intake to do what ma'asrot. So the Gemara wants to know practically, what's the case? How can a husband ever come to eat things that are not me'usad? Give me the scenario. If he knows already, going in, that the stuff was not taken to the Bat Masrot, nifrosh, he just won't eat. And if he doesn't know, how's he going to know? Which means, how does he end up finding out that the stuff wasn't taken to the Bat Masrot? If he doesn't know, he doesn't know. How does he end up finding out? Gemara says, Lo tzericha, the case is talking about like this. The amra le ploni kohen tiken li etakri. She comes along and says, listen, don't worry, everything's good over here. Mr. Kohen so-and-so, he came, he took the terumot, ma'aslot, the chavod. So he trusts her. The azil shayle, then he went to ask that Kohen that she mentioned. And the guy said, I never took terumot, ma'aslot. Then the Gemara saying that he's believed. And therefore, that's exactly a case where he ate it on her testimony, whatever her claim. But what, the Kohen came along and denied that he ever took the terumot. And therefore, he can give her a divorce. Comes the Gemara and says, "Umishtamishto nida." Okay, the case is he's with her, she's with him when she's nida. Again, hechidame. What's the case? Idiada ba nifrosh. Again, if he knows that she's nida, so he's going to be puresh. Not going to go with her. Ideloyada. Oh, now if he doesn't know, the Gemara says, "Nismoch elava." Just let him rely on her to say she's not nida. Which means like this, the Gemara cannot ask in this case that if he doesn't know, Minayada is going to find out. No, because he'll find out. If he goes with her, he'll see blood on him, he'll know that she's nida. That you're going to find out. So obviously we're talking about over here that the question is, she's coming along and saying she's fine. So the Gemara, if he doesn't know otherwise, why can he just trust her when she comes along and says, I went to the Mevir, because there is a Ne'emanut that the Torah gives to a lady, that you believe her when she says she's still not. How? How do we know that a nida counts 7 days for herself? Which means you could trust the lady when she comes and tells you, I counted my 7 days, and I went to the mikveh. Yeah, she doesn't need edim and all that. She's ne'emir. How? She's ne'emar la shiv'at yamim. La le'atzma. Which means she got herself. She doesn't have to have a testimony and things like that. So therefore, the case is talking about over here, what? Where she said that she went to the mikveh, so then the Torah says she can trust her. So what's the problem? So it was a lo tzericha de amra le ploni hakam tihed li et adam. He came along and she said, listen, such and such a hakam, I went to show him dam, and he came along and said, tahor. Okay, so he trusted her. So he went with her. Then what happens? Vazal Shayle, he went to ask that Hakam. Ishtekah Shikra. Found out the rabbi said, I never said she's Tameh. Otherwise, I said she's Tameh. Oh, so therefore, Mishnah Mishtoni, that she fooled him. She means she had the Emanu to say that what? She went to the Hakam. Her husband's allowed to trust her. But she tricked him up. So he went to the rabbi, and the rabbi confirmed that what? Nothing happened there. She was Adraba. Vibaitema, Kedrav Yehuda, Damar Yehuda, Hoseka Nida Bishkunoteha, Bala Lokea Alea. We have a rule like this. Sometimes a lady, she can be established nida by the clothes that she wears, because ladies used to wear in the old days certain clothes when she's nida, and the neighbors already know that when she's wearing these clothes, already she's nida. Which means if they tell a husband, your wife is nida, how do you know my wife is nida? The neighbors already is telling her that we know she's nida, that's the way she dresses, whatever it is, and then he goes with his wife. That's considered mezi. We give him malkut for such a thing, which means you got to know. So the same thing over here. He went with his wife, thinking what, that she's okay. She said she's okay. All of a sudden he walks out of the house, and the neighbors are saying, "What are you talking about? Your wife's nida over here." Oh, so therefore he knows now from the neighbors that she was nida. Our question was minayada. Which means that minayada. How can you rely on her? Rely on her. She says she's okay. You cannot rely enough. There's a hazakah from the neighbors that they're saying what? That she's no good. So therefore, she's mishtamishto nida. She's fooling him. So therefore, the deen is yotzi ve'lo yiten ketubah. Ve'lo kotsa lahala. She's not taking halal from the bread. Same question. Hechidame. What's the case? Idi yada. If he knows that the bread was not taken, the halal was not taken, the flush. Idi lo yada. Minayada. He doesn't know. So how does he know? Which means, how does he end up finding out? Lo tzedika da amra le ploni gibel. The guy came over and he was a kneader. He kneaded the dough for me. And he used the gibel. He mixed the dough and the water for me. Tikeni taisa, and he also fixed the izay tikhala for me. Vazad shayle. When he asked the guy, v'shtekach shekrat, she was found out to be lying. V'noderet v'enem mekayemet. She's making vows and she's not being mekayim. So comes the Gemara and says, the amar mor ba'avon nedarim banim metim. Chas v'shalom by avon of nedarim. A person makes nedarim, neder. So it says banim metim. It causes chas v'shalom children to die. Now, even though we say that lo yumetu avot al banim or banim avotam, the children don't die for the sins of their parents. That's only talking about when they're gedolim. But ketanim chas v'shalom can be punished for the sins of their parents. So therefore, the lady over here is jeopardizing the husband's children, even though the neder doesn't affect him directly. But we know the rule: avon nedarim, banim metim. So she's making vows and she's breaking them. So chas v'shalom is jeopardizing the children. Shnei emar. How do you know that this is so? So Pasuk says, "Al titen et picha, do not let your mouth lahti et besarecha, do not let it cause your flesh to be lost." And the end of the pasuk says, "Ve'al tomar lefnei malach," and then don't tell the angel or the shaliach, the messenger, "Ki shegagahi," that was a mistake. Lama yiksof ha'eluim al kolecha ve'hibel et ma'asei adecha. Why are you going to let God damage your handiwork? So the Gemara says, "Ve'ezuhi ma'asi adav shel adam." What's considered the handiwork of a person? Have omer banav ubnotav, which means a person makes the darim, doesn't keep them. Shlomo HaMelech says in the Kohelet, "Ve'chibel et ma'asi adecha." But Menana comes back to his own children. Rav Nachman Amar Mehakel. Nachman says from this pasuk over here, pasuk in Yirmiyah, "Lashav v'kiti et benechem." So God says, "Lashav," because of shav, I smote your children. Lashav al iske shav. On the inyan of shav. Which means you made vows and you didn't keep them. Gemara continues. Tanya ya Rabbi Mir Omer. Kol ayodea be'ishto shenoderet. Ve'ena mekayemet. He says, anybody that knows his wife that makes nedarim and she doesn't keep a nedarim, yahazor v'yadirena. She says he should make a neder on her, which means he should oser whatever she was oser, he should come along and make a similar neder on her. So Kabbalah says, what are you talking? Yedirena b'may metakena, which means, what do you mean? But she made a neder against this item, so he should come along and make the same neder. Okay, I'm osering you to that item. What's that going to do? She made the neder, she's not keeping the item. Yahzor v'yedirena, I mean, what's it going to gain by him to do the same item? So the Kabbalah says, no. Ela yahzor v'yaknitena. That's the strategy over here. He should go get her angry. In order that she'll make the neder befanav v'yafirla. She's like this. Let's say this lady's accustomed to, you know, making a certain type of neder, right? But the husband's not around to make hafara. He doesn't hear it. And therefore she's breaking the darim all over the place. Over there. He doesn't want to live with such a lady. So they say, you know what? We have a strategy for you over here. You come along, get the lady upset. Do something to get her all nervous. You're going to cause her to get that neder out. So she goes, I'm making the neder now. I'm not going to do this over here. Okay, beautiful. Don't tell anything. Go inside. Say, batel, veto. Now the neder is not on her. Once the neder is not, what do you mean second time? No, she's not doing it to herself. We're saying, get the neder out so you'll hear it. Once you hear it, you're going to go now inside. Veto, hafara. Good. So now, even though she in herself is going to break it, but it's not going to affect, first of all, there's no neder on her. Now, she might not know that, but it's not enough where the banim are going to be metim. So therefore, he's giving you an idea to be meir, that if your wife is a nedranit, and you don't, you're concerned that she breaks the darim, just set her up where the neder will come out of her, and don't tell you anything, mefer it. Just, okay, very nice, you got her angry, go inside, mefer, at least you're protecting the kids. Now the kids are not going to die, because really she's not, she's breaking the neder, but she's really not breaking the neder. Oh, so comes the Gemara and says, no, that's unacceptable. Why? Gemara says, Amrudo, they told to be meir, En adam dar im nahash b'chfifa. You can't live with a snake in a basket. Which means, Exactly. You're going to get bit, which means you can't protect yourself 24 hours from a snake. You're going to close your eyes. He's going to bite. They're sending you with this lady over here. Well, all day long, you got to be on guard. Does she make a neder so you can be meferet, so the children's not going to die? And if she's a isha nadranit, you got to get rid of her. You can't live with her because she's going to make the darim away from you, and that's going to jeopardize the children. So he doesn't obligate you, this shita, to stay together. Kabbalah says, Tanya, Yerbi Yehuda Omer, Ko LeYehuda BeEshto, Shena Kotza Lo Hala. Similarly, you know your wife does not take Hala, Yahzor VeYafrish Ahareya. So, okay, no problem. Whenever you see she's making a dough, just go behind her, take challah. You don't have to get divorced. Just fix the bread. Again, Amru lo in Adam dar im nahash bechlifah. So he says the same thing. Listen, you can't live with a snake. You're not always going to be around when she's making the challah. You're not always going to be there. And therefore, you can't mandate that, you know, anytime she makes challah, just let him take it. You can't live with a snake. She's going to bite you without knowing. So basically, we have two cases. We have the Nidr case, and we have the Hala case, and both cases, the rabbi said you can't live with a snake. Now, it was said in two different cases. So the Gemara says, Man de matnila aha, according to the opinion that said it by Hala, kol sheken ahach, or the more so by Nidarim. Why? It seems that Hala was done every day. Hala is you make bread every day. So it's more difficult to control the halal situation that she's taking the halal. You always got to be alert. And therefore, if the rabbi said, "En adam dar b'chvifa hat," when it comes to halal, so therefore the Gemara is saying, "Kol sheken aha," which means when it comes to nidarim. Why? Look at Nashi. Nashi says, "Man de matila aha, deri de tani takanta ahala." Oh, it's going on the takanta, on the takana side, not the snake side. Right. On the opinion that said, fix the hala. Go fix the hala and you'll be okay. So and that's very hard to do, by the way, because there's hala every single day. So he really has to be alert. So if you're giving him an answer, fix it, called sheken, we're going to tell him, stay married to the nadranit, because she doesn't make that many nidarim. Nidarim are not so common like hala. And therefore, for a common case, we have to be much more alert. He's telling you, fix it. Because shekin and nedarim that are not so common, fix it. However, the opposite, which is the one that said it by nedarim, but by halal, you can always be alert. Maybe she's going to make a bread that you weren't aware of, and you're going to end up eating it. So therefore, even though he says fix the nedarim, you can say because nedarim are easy for him, because she doesn't make them that often, so he'll be aware of it. But halal is too prevalent, and therefore you can't give him an option. Oh, just fix it. We don't fix it. Sometimes you know you're not going to be around to fix it, and then you end up eating it by mistake, and then what's going to happen? So therefore, he says in that case over there, you cannot live with a snake. Okay, now we discuss that yehudit, which is the certain laws of sini'ut that the ladies accepted upon themselves. And of course, the lady's not being careful with this laws of sini'ut, you can give her a get without a ketubah. So it says, yotzav and roshap, she goes out without her hair covered. So the Gemara says, roshap parua deoraitai. So we're talking about, you say that yehudit is a lady that doesn't wear a hair covering, which is mashma, that was like a minhag Yisrael. What do you mean? That's not that yehudit, that's that Moshe. How do you know that it's the Torah law that a lady has to cover her head? Diktiv. Ufara et rosh ha'isha. By the case of the sotah, what happens? The sotah goes to the Beit HaMikdash, and one of the procedures in the Beit HaMikdash, when the Kohen goes to this lady that's a sotah, ufara et rosh ha'isha, he uncovers her hair, which is mashma what? That her hair was covered. So therefore, the Gemara is saying it's a Torah law that the lady has to cover their head. And that's the way most of the Rishonim learn. The Meiri, etc., that covering the hair is a Doraita law. But we must point out the Shita of the Terumat HaDeshin and Siman Resh Mem Bet, that he quotes from Harambam, that's Mashma, that covering the hair of a lady is only Isur the Rabbanan. And therefore, he wants to learn that when it says in this Gemara over here, Doraita hi, it means it's a Remez mit Doraita, it's a Smachta. That's because he pointed out over here that it's now also someone to say that this deen of covering the hair is only by nisua, only by a married lady, like the case of the sotah. She was a married lady, but it's not by a penuya. Gemara continues. V'tana de Rabbi Ishmael azhara libnot Yisrael. We learn from this pasuk over here, parat rosh ha'isha, a warning to benot Yisrael shelo yitzu befroa beparua rosh. So comes the Gemara and answers. De oraita kalta Shapir Dame, which is, oh, Midat Torah, all she has to wear is a kalta. Kalta literally that she says sal, it's like a basket or a netting. She yesh lo milemata bet kibud leholmo birosho. Like, as a, you know, like a basket has a hole in the bottom, receptacle, she just puts it on her head. U bet kibud milmal letitbo plachu pishtam. Which means there's holes on the top. So therefore, really, our hair is visible a little through the holes. And she could stick things in it, like she puts her needle points in it and stuff, or pelach, the spindle, she puts it there. But the point is, minat Torah, that's the covering that's mandatory. However, that Yehudit, the custom of Jewish girls came and said, what? Afilu kalta name asur. Even that netting, that basket is assumed, it's got to be a regular full covering where no hair is being shown. So that's what it means. If a lady comes along and she goes against that Yehudit, she goes out in the shoot to the bimah, she's wearing this basket over her head, but you can see the hair through the basket, divorce without a ketubah, you already over it al that Yehudit. Amar of Asa, Amar of Yohanan, kalta en ba mishum peru arosh. Oh, so Yohanan said a big hadush over. He says, no, kalta is not considered piruaros, which is if a lady goes out with this kalta birosha, it's not considered any suit. Right? That's not a problem. So comes the Gemara and says, Havi ba Rabizira. So the Bizira analyzed. What do you mean it's not piruaros? Where were you talking? Ilima bishuk. If you're going to tell me about that, he's talking about in the marketplace, and if a lady wears this in the marketplace, dat Yehuditi. What does it mean, dat Yehuditi? Which means, even though there's no Yisud Deoraita to wear this, you're right, but you have an issue of dat Yehudit. The Hanan is telling me that, no, if you wear this kaltab and shoot Rabim, no problem. No problem Deoraita. But we just established there's a problem with Rabbanan, that the kaltab is not enough from Torah. You need a regular covering. Ela b'hasir. So Musbi was talking about in the hasir, which means a lady, even in the hasir, she has to wear the kalta, that's what Yohanan is saying. And if you wear a kalta, this basket, in the hatsim, in the courtyard, in a private courtyard she has in front of the house. We don't remember the courtyards, right? They used to live in courtyards. They have their homes. Boys, and in front of the homes, you have, let's say, the courtyards. Like, shoot the yachid. So that's what he's saying, that when she's in the shoot the yachid, in the hatsir, so the kalta is okay. So the Gemara says, imken, lo enach nabat la'avram abinu, she yoshev ta'at ba'ala. She didn't leave anybody to stay married. Because the custom of Klai Yisrael, the girls wear in the Hatzer, they don't wear anything. They leave their hair uncovered. So therefore, according to what you're saying there, that she's got to wear the kalta and the Hatzer, meaning if she's not wearing the kalta, she's over it. So therefore, you didn't leave a married girl to the descendants of Avraham Avinu. Every husband can divorce their wife now because they're doing against the Isur. Which means, how could you tell me that even in the Hatzer, she has to cover her hair? We're really in the chaser. The ladies are not covering them. So Amar Rabbi Yehetim Rav Kana mechaser lechaser v'derech mavui. The Rana was saying was you're right. In the chaser itself, she doesn't have to cover her hair. But we're talking about when she's going from one chaser to another chaser through the mavui, through the alley, and in the alley there's a lot of people. There's thoroughfare. So therefore, it's like a shoot of the beam. Like there's a lot of people there. It's open to the shoot of the beam. So therefore, in that case, she has to cover her hair. Then she has to wear the basket at least. But in the chaser itself, she's able to not. So that's the whole discussion and the laws of tzni'ut, exactly where and when does a lady have to cover her hair. Someone learned this Gemara a little more mahmir. They say, no, in the chaser, you have to even wear a kalta. And they learned the Gemara a little differently. And some are so mahmir that even when the lady's in her privacy of her own house, she should still cover her hair, like the Gemara says in Yomav, the lady Kimhit, who had seven Kohanim Gedolim that came out of her, and they asked her, what do you credit this to? And she said, because the walls of my house never saw my hair. That means even in her own privacy of her own home, she kept the laws of tzniut. So we see this direct effect of tzniut of a lady and the children. Which means everybody's talking about Hinuch Yedadim and different methods and psychologies and the methodologies. But now you see over here, the Gemara is also teaching us that the tziniut of a lady directly affects the outcome of the children. And then this is the parameters exactly when and how and where. Comes Gemara and continues. V'tava b'shuk. Okay, so she's needle pointing, or what do you call it, weaving in the marketplace and talking to men. So we said that's already flirtatious, so she's talking to other men. That's already grounds for divorce, she doesn't have to pay ketubah. Amar Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, So what's the ri'ah? He gives a different reason. Because when she's weaving and going like this, her sleeve, you know, goes up, and therefore she's revealing her arm to expose the arm to the people. It's the lack of siniut. That's a lack of siniut. So that's a separate item, which is when she's weaving, that's a separate reason to the public. But she, it's a lack of siniut. Talking about, let's say she has red string. Okay, she's weaving a red string. So what happens? When the lady's in public, so she's weaving the red string, it goes to, let's say, her mouth, where she's, you know, she's trying to you know,
needle it
and thread it, and it drools down this red thread to paneha shilmata. And therefore it causes people to look, because you know, you see red thread, so right, you follow it, and you're following it down to paneha shilmata, even though she's dressed. But it's not siniut. She's causing people to look at places that are not siniut. Fourth line of Rashi, Veret keneged paneh tava bechipa al yerecha vechut mitraded keneged paneha shelmata. Okay, so he's learning the word vered, mitraded, like it. It just
it dangles.
Okay, exactly. It dangles down as she's weaving. Not siniut. Okay. Give me the exact language. Right, mitradid. It's mitpashet v'nofil ben nagleha. Keneged oto makom. Kedesh she yistakelu ba b'nei adam. But she's doing it on purpose. She's rest. V'yavol yidei erur avera. And they're going to come to erur avera. U'medaberet im kol adam. She's talking to people. That's the case of talking to people. She's flirtatious. She talks to people. Amar v'yudah mashu'er b'msacheket im bahurim. Which means she's talking to the bachurim. She's talking to devarim b'terim, to the young ones. Or she's maricha. Or she, instead of, she could say things in a short way, but she's talking a little long and you know, extra words over there. Amar Rav Abba bar Hana zimna hada one time hava ka'azina batre de Rav Ukba. So I was walking with Rav Ukba. Hazite lahi aravya. So an Arab lady da'va yadva, and there she was sitting. She took her pilcha, that's the spindle. Is that called a spindle? The spindle, that's what she weaves with. So when she saw the rabbis walking by, she took the spindle and she threw it on the floor. Shadya pilcha. She purposely dropped it out of her hands. Vetava, verad keneged paneha. And what happened? The spool went down, the thread went down to keneged paneha shilmata, like the custom that the people did. Kevan de hazitinan. That's right. Actually, she was holding the spindle weaving, and she had the thread was going down to paneh shel mata. That's so far the story. Kevan dehazitina, when she saw us, pasikte lepilcha, she stopped weaving, shadite, and she threw the spindle on the ground. Amra li, ulem, young man, have li pilach, give me the plach. And she did it on purpose. She's looking for an excuse that she could talk to these men over here. So then when she saw them coming close, she drops it on the floor. Excuse me, could you pick up the spindle for me? Amar ba Rav Ukba. So Rav Ukba said about this lady, milta. He said a halakha regarding this lady. Which means he was basically saying, if this would happen by a Jewish woman, get without a ketubah. This is the case we're talking. So the Gemara wants to know exactly, what did she do? Exactly, that what Ukba said that she's wrong. So my, so Amar ba Ravina, so Ravina said, I'm sorry, my Amar ba, what did he say? Ravina Amar, Tava Bishuk. Simple. Tava, even before she opened her mouth, Tava Bishuk. What did we say before? Once a lady's Tava Bishuk, she's revealing her arms, or she's crossing the thread to go to Paneh Shel Mata, so finish. Banan Amre medaberet im kol adam amar ba. Because she's talking to strangers in the street. She dropped her spindle and she said, hey, young man, could you pick this up for me? Finish. Even that, a small little conversation, it wasn't necessary. What do you have to talk to somebody else for? Then already the husband would be able to come along and say, you talk to somebody else? Get without a ketubah. Abba Shaul omer afa mekalelet yoldav befanav. So he said, a lady that curses her father, her husband's parents in front of him. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, b'mekalelet yolidav b'fne molidav. So he comes along and says that when it says b'fanav, not only does it mean b'fanav dav got a husband, but even in front of his children. Molidav, which means the mother goes in front of the children and says, you know, yeah, I hope something happens to you, you know, to your father's parents or something like that. She's telling the children. That's already considered b'fanav. Now, how do you know that the children, when you say something in front of the children, it's as if you're saying it in front of the husband? The simanak, are you going to remember this? Ephraim umnashe, kerubin v'shimon yehuli. Which means you see in the pasuk, it's Ephraim umnashe, which was the second generation. It's considered, the pasuk says, kerubin v'shimon. So, as if to say, when you say something in front of Ephraim and Menashe, it's like you're saying it in front of the generation before it was who? Reuven and Shimon. Because they were Yosef's children. So that's the second generation. So you just see in this pasuk, second generation is like the first generation. And therefore, when you're saying it in front of the children, it's as if you're saying it in front of the husband. So therefore, the same rule of the Mishnah applies. Amar Rava, the Amra Le, what does she say? So she says like this, Nichle Aryeh Lesaba. You know, a lion should eat grandpa. And she said it in front of the children. So that's, she's cursing him out that he should get eaten by a lion. Right. Alva Yuchelenu Aryeh Lesaba. And she said it in front of the children.
Bedtime story.
Rabbi Tarfon Omer Afa Kolanit. So we said even a Kolanit that you get divorced without a ketubah. So the Gemara says, my Kolanit, what's considered a Kolanit? Amar Yehuda Mar Shmuel b'mashmaat kola al esket tashmish. Oh, which means he's talking private things and she's screaming and yelling and the whole neighborhood hears her private his private items. That she says, kishmedaber ima al eske ona. She's fighting with him. He's embarrassed that she's talking private. He's talking private eyes with him, and she's screaming. The case is talking about where she has tashmish in this haser. But she's loud in the tashmish because she's bitzar. She has pain, and therefore she's screaming during the tashmish because of the pain, so the neighbors can hear it. So that's already embarrassing for the husband. And she says, kola she tashmish kashela. The tashmish is hard, right? Meaning it's painful. V'soeket. So comes Gemara and says, v'nitiyag b'mumin. Which is the next Mishnah is going to discuss different mumin blemishes that a lady has that you can divorce her without a ketubah. So what? That's the chavad as a blemish. She cannot have tashmish. She's screaming and things like that. She has sa'ad. Why is it put in the next Mishnah? So it says, you're right. Go back to the original answer that she's a kolani, meaning she's fighting with the husband and she's loud, and the neighbors are able to hear this item, and therefore it causes them busha. Amen.